All right, everybody, welcome to this edition of Overreaction Monday on vacation. But Chris Brockman and I are making our appointed rounds just for you now that week 16 and all the Christmas weekends in the books. How are you doing, Chris?
Rich, I'm great. How are you guys? How was the game? Great game. I mean, not for me, but for you guys to call. But well done, man. That was really fun.
It was a total blast in Denver. Yeah. It was a chilly night. For a while in the first half, it appeared that the Broncos had gotten your memo and the Patriots had gotten your memo. After it appeared that the Carolina Panthers were getting your memo against the Green Bay Packers earlier in the day.
So close.
But I got to tell you, I was thinking of you as I was calling the Chad Ryland field goal to win the game. You were in the back of my head. I got to be honest.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you. I was in the back of your head and there was a lot of wine in my mouth as he was attempting that game winner. And of course, he made it.
Okay, well, this at any rate, it was a great win for the Patriots. I know it gets you further away from Caleb Williams. I don't know if that's any of your topics for today, but today's edition of Overreaction Monday, while we were on vacation, you might hear some dogs in the background here. This is brought to you by our friends at Game Time, the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. Game Time has killer last-minute deals, all in prices and views from your seat to know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Put in my code, our code, Overreaction, for $20 off after you download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, you ready to do it, Chris Brockman?
Let's go, baby. Come on.
Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Go ahead.
All right, Rich, here we go. We saw it. It was the marquee to end week 16 on Monday night. Rich, the Ravens are Super Bowl favorites, and Lamar Jackson wrapped up his second MVP.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all. You even heard Troy Aikman say it during the game, that if this was a de facto MVP race between Lamar and Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey, that the best player on the field that night was Lamar Jackson. However, one of my, as you know, adopted children, Kyle Hamilton, he was on the field that night as well. He had two interceptions, and this defense was balling out. This is a championship defense with Quan, number zero, right in the middle, and Patrick Queen walking the walk, talking the talk, and even picking off one of the passes of Brock Purdy last night, 100%, no question about it. Lamar Jackson on the field last night was doing exactly what he needed to do. The defense, yes, was backing his play, and I'm sure in this day and age where everybody says, well, he has this, he has that, all he's just doing is what he needs to do. Lamar does that plus more. And what he means to this team is truly remarkable. And the Ravens are the best team in football. I tweeted that out as soon as the game was over. There's a new best team in football, and they wear purple. As soon as I did that, everybody was in my feed saying, do you mean the Vikings? I'm like, oh, okay, let me hit the edit button and add an extra line. Obviously, I meant the Ravens. My goodness, what's the matter with people? But yes, I don't think that's an overreaction at all, Chris. 100%.
What did you make of that game and the way the defense was able to confuse and turn over Brock Purdy in a way we haven't really seen for a year and a half?
I just think the defense is coming to its own, and has been all season long. And we did see what the Rams were able to do to them a couple of weeks ago with Matthew Stafford and Puka, and that NFC West team went into their house and gave them a heck of a game, more than the NFC West team that was welcoming them into their own home. So I just think that what we're seeing is a team that just had a complete 100% total focus and mentality of going into the house of the San Francisco 49ers and kicking their ass. And they went ahead and did that. Yep. And the defense set the tone, and the offense did enough and then started adding points in the third quarter when Brock Purdy completely regressed right in front of our eyes for one game. I don't know if there's another overreaction that Brock isn't that guy. Is there an overreaction like that coming up?
And we'll see.
All right. I don't want to cannibalize what you've got planned later on in this pod, but I just tip my cap to the Ravens. They are the best team in football. They've been climbing my power rankings chart all season long, and they're now going to be number one this week.
Yeah, no jinx with the Ravens in the power rankings, Rich. I mean, that's a narrative out there on the Twitter sphere.
I don't think there's a jinx. When they put the Bengals in there and they lost to the Steelers, I just think that's on its own. We had Kyle Hamilton on our show this week.
That's not a jinx.
Amari Cooper is on our show this week. That's not a jinx. So let's all just back off. You know what I mean?
Oh, Rich, speaking of Amari Cooper. Oh, and the former Ravens quarterback, Joe Flacco and Amari Cooper are taking the Browns to the AFC Championship game.
That's an overreaction.
Oh, what?
To the AFC Championship game?
The Flacco-sance.
That's the Flacco-sance I'm all into. And there's no question in my mind right now that if Cleveland winds up being the 5 seed, which I think we're going to agree that that's going to happen, right? Because the Ravens are the first member of the 12-win club of 2023. And that we're seeing what we're seeing right now between the Browns and the rest of the field in the wild card race, they're going to be the 5, right? So I think they're going to go in and absolutely obliterate whoever the AFC South champion is going to be. I believe that we can agree that the Browns will be favored as a road team in the wild card round.
I bet it would be point and a half, something like that.
Okay,
yeah.
So I think that's we're going to see that. And then if they win that game, unless there is a 6-7 seed shocker of a 2 seed Bills / Dolphins team or the Chiefs. Unless there's a shocker.
If the playoffs started today, it would be Bills at Chiefs. You're not taking the Chiefs in that game.
Okay. So, all right. What I'm trying to do is put Joe Flacco in Baltimore is what I'm trying to do with the Browns for
the
a playoff
AFC
game.
Championship. Let's go.
That would be out of control, but I'm not putting them in the AFC Championship game just yet, Chris. I really can't bring myself to do that just
yet. You think they're playing, they're one of the 4 best teams right now playing
the
best?
There's no question about it. The defense and the way that the offense has looked under Joe Flacco, suddenly this is a team that can pass first, right? The Browns are supposed to be run, keep your offense, the opponent's offense off the field. They were supposed to be just play defense, don't make the mistake. And now Flacco's throwing for 400 friggin' yards. And Amari Cooper's running, catching for damn near 300, and David Njoku has become one of the more potent down the field in the end zone, red zone threat tight ends in the league. So I know everything that I've said has, I guess, belied my calling this an overreaction. Is it possible? Yes. But is it to say right now 100% they're going to go in maybe into Kansas City and win a game, or they're going to go into Buffalo and win a game? They're going to go into Miami and win a game, or Baltimore and win a game to make an AFC Championship game appearance? I'll just call that an overreaction for the moment, but they are playing fantastic football. Kevin Stefanski and John Harbaugh right now are should be neck and neck for coach of the year. And I understand Dan Campbell's in that mix as well. If I was back in Stefanski's play last week after they looked the way they looked in Houston, despite the way the Ravens have looked, despite the way the Lions just played as well for the last 2 weeks, I'm going to stay with that and say, Joe Flacco for comeback player of the year should be in the mix. I know we were joking about that before we left, but that's where I'll go with that.
That's real now. Joe Flacco, MVP. Come on. Why not?
Okay. All right. Look at you. Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
In today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
All right, Reg, let's stay in the AFC North. Mm-hmm. We've been talking a lot about this coach recently. Their fans love you, to be honest. Mason Rudolph saved Mike Tomlin's job.
That is a total overreaction.
It was Rudolph on Christmas. Why didn't we see this coming?
I know that. Guiding the Steelers sleigh as the first game of the Christmas weekend.
Guiding the black and gold to a victory, saving Mike Tomlin's legendary career in Pittsburgh.
I would say the more appropriate overreaction topic would be Mason Rudolph should have been the starter all year.
Well, you know what, Rich? That was the first draft. And then I was like, yeah, obviously we could say that. They should have never went to Trubisky. They should have went right to Rudolph.
I went instead of Pickett.
The whole year.
Yeah, that's the overreaction.
Rich, no. What do the fans want? They want Tomlin. He saved his job.
Here's the deal, okay? We have no idea what's going on in the minds of the Roonies. They, I'm sure, as they go about their business in Western PA and in Pittsburgh, I'm sure they hear over and over and again from people how upset they are, what happened against the Cardinals and then the Patriots in front of the Acrisure faithful is unacceptable. It's a travesty. Whatever you want to hear on local radio, whatever they might be hearing in the supermarket as if they do their own shopping. Listen, dinner parties, wherever they're going out and about their business, they hear it. But in the building, it's entirely possible they never thought for a split second about replacing Tomlin over that three-game stretch between the Cardinals' loss and then the Patriots' loss and then the loss that I called in Indianapolis on NFL Network against the Colts. They never maybe thought for a split second of replacing him. And when Tomlin didn't bench George Pickens, I even did think to myself, what is going on there? Why didn't he discipline this young man for coming out and saying after the video that was captured by our crew of him, doing a river dance over those he needed to block, right? Why would he keep him in the lineup? Marshall Faulk even came on our show and said, basically, he's one of their best players. They need points. Of course he's going to stick him out there. What did we see?
I think he just caught another 80-yard touchdown right now.
And then that team was 1,000,000% locked and loaded to dismantle Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals in front of everybody. And then they did it. And you know what was really remarkable? And I know I shouldn't be saying this, Chris, but I'll say it. I'm on vacation. I'm feeling good about myself. Yeah, I'm smelling pancakes. Over here. I'm feeling it right now. I also have this photograph of some Tatanka behind me. Whatever this is.
Painting of some buffalo.
For those listening and not seeing it on our YouTube feed, I don't know. It's wild buffalo. So maybe that's why I'm going to feel good about the Bills, despite the way they looked against Easton Stick. Listen,
it doesn't matter.
I know I shouldn't be saying this, but what was totally great about Saturday, right around dinner time, after the Steelers beat the Bengals, I went on my X feed and
your mentions were empty.
Nothing. I heard nothing. It was the first Steeler game in a month I wasn't being held personally responsible.
And I was like, you're the one making the Steelers decisions. Yeah.
So then why isn't this Tomlin's deal, right? What? All right, listen, has it been something that Steelers fans can hang their hat on and say, we're going to the Super Bowl or we're even on our way to the Super Bowl? I totally understand the way they feel. But I don't think Mason Rudolph saved his job. I don't think Tomlin's in danger. How does that sound?
Oh,
I don't think he was in danger at all, even though we were talking about it in the media, and rightfully so, because the Steelers fans kind of mandated that being a topic of discussion. But you even heard Florio say that on NBC, that they're already talking about maybe a contract extension for the guy. So don't, I'll call this an overreaction.
You think Steelers make the playoffs or the ninth seed
No, I think they've got too many problems with with tie breaks right now.
They
need the Colts to basically lose
and
out.
And the Colts to lose
out. They can't have the same record as the Colts. They can't.
Yep.
But them beating the Bengals was absolutely huge. Houston, by the way, don't forget, remember Houston early on in the season when the Steelers looked like that they were going to be really a deep threat this year? Remember they went to Houston, they got their hinds beaten. Okay,
yeah,
that's another tiebreaker against them that does not work. So, but you never know. Cause I don't know if there's a Seattle conversation coming up soon. Cause we thought they were finished with that four game losing streak. And now look at them. They're in the seventh seed and looking terrific right now. So.
All right, Rich, a team that's not looking terrific, the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to say Broncos Raiders week 18. That's for the AFC West title.
Oh, that's come on, man. Get out of here.
Chiefs are sinking, Rich.
Dude.
They're going to lose out.
Come on.
Dude. Raiders, Broncos for the West.
You think the Chiefs lose to the Bengals next week?
I think that's possible.
Obviously it's possible. Anything's possible.
Nobody thought Pittsburgh was going to beat the Bengals. So
why? Who saw the Raiders come in and put the bang thing on the Chiefs?
I mean, two defensive touchdowns in 7 seconds.
I know. That was really stunning. I was on my flight out here to Utah to meet the fam. And, I was on Wi-Fi. I honestly got out of the app twice to think it was a mistake.
Yeah, like glitch. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, the dot just went touchdown, and then the dot went touchdown again. I'm like, what the heck was that? So it was truly the first thing when I landed to get to see the video of it. I'm like, get out of here.
Yeah.
And then
just 2 weeks in a row, pick six.
I know. And then what do you do to the fan in the stands? He knocked over the drink. I mean, what was that?
I think
about?
He was like, hey, here's the ball for Christmas. Psych. I think it was kind of one of those.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. So come on, man. Come on, man. And I'll be straight up with you. I saw the Broncos with my own two eyes. They're going to have their hands full with the Chargers coming in. If Coach Giff, who, by the way, Giff Smith, I had never heard him talk. As soon as I heard him talk, I'm like, that's exactly how I thought Giff Smith would talk. And by the way, I loved it. I loved his energy on the sideline.
They played really hard in that game.
Man, I love that. Was, you know, interim coach energy sometimes is some of the best energy that you have because this is like,
I don't have anything to write that down, but that's a good fantasy name.
Interim coach energy, man, is just great because these are like lifers. These are people who have packed up their family about 30 times, moved about 40 times themselves personally before they had a family. They've been coaching their entire lives, and here they have a headset on in a National Football League, nationally televised game, and they are going to win this game, and they're going to will their team to victory, and Coach Giff Smith had that. And if the Chargers show up in Denver with the same energy and the same attitude – against the Broncos team that I saw struggle for points until the fourth quarter, so I'll just call that an overreaction and say I totally understand what you're saying about the Chiefs. There is just something amiss, and you know Andy Reid said that something along the lines that there's a tick off. They're a couple ticks off, man. And I will just say this: is this your only Chiefs overreaction?
This is my only Chiefs one. It's more just about the West in general.
And this may be just this may just be me still having a I guess what would you say? Would this be me having flashbacks to last year?
Yeah, just kind of a residual negative energy
when I chose the Raiders to win the division. Right. And wouldn't that be wild if they actually do that this year? Yeah,
you're a year early.
Okay, after I'm caping about the Chiefs nonstop, that won't happen. This is no overreaction. But let me just say this about the Chiefs. I just can't quit a team that has Mahomes and Kelce in it in a win-or-go-home game in Arrowhead Stadium. I just can't. I can't envision it. I can't see it. I can't think it. I won't think it until I actually see it. But if it is the Bills as the sixth seed that comes into their house, oh my gosh.
Yeah, right. Buckle up, man.
I would think that's the one team they just don't want to see come into their building. Although I'm sure every Chiefs fan that's seeing it right now, what I'm saying or hearing what I'm saying or what we're saying right now, Chris, would say, hey, if Kadarius Toney was just on sides, we'd win that game. So that will be, you know, a wild card game that puts the super and super wild card weekend. But I'll just call this an overreaction.
Yeah, look, and for all the issues we've talked about with Josh Allen and turning the ball over, I mean, Patrick Mahomes has 14 interceptions. That's third in the NFL this year. He has a passer rating of 92. That's below so many other players. That's completely average in the league. He's 15th in passer rating. He has not looked the same this year, that's for a number of reasons. But look, everybody kind of has an off year, and it seems like this is Kansas City's.
Yeah, I won't do it. I just won't. I won't jump off the ship. Hey, we all know how frustrating it could be to find the perfect tickets for the game or concert you've been dying to see, but Game Time Tickets has got you covered. Do not worry about buying tickets to your next big event. Wherever you are right now, maybe on vacation with your family, you want to see a show, you want to see a game, you want to see a concert, you want to see anything that you can buy tickets to, Game Time has you covered for that, or in your hometown. And it's so easy to find tickets for all the events, and you get tickets in just two taps, and you get to see the view from your seats. It's called also all-in pricing. When you go and buy your tickets, you get to see your total upfront, so you're not surprised about anything. And here's the best part about it. With Game Time, and you go and get Game Time on the app on your mobile device, create an account, use the R code OVERREACTION for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code OVERREACTION. There's two R's in overreaction for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
All right, folks, let's talk about Game Time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events, because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Second half of our post-Christmas week. Overreaction Monday pod. Go ahead and hit it, Chris. Right, what else you got?
Second half, and we're coming out strong back to Sunday night. Brock Purdy and the 49ers have been exposed.
What do you mean by exposed, Chris? What do you mean
by
exposed?
I knew you were going to ask me that when I wrote it, because you want to know exactly what you mean by exposed. Here's the deal. Brock Purdy, you know, did you notice Cam Newton tweet out yesterday? Cam Newton, after the third interception, did the little eyeglass guy three times. He was like, see what I said?
Well,
exposed is not the best team in the league, not the Super Bowl front runner, a team that can be beat and shown, like the Ravens did, there is a blueprint to beating that team and beating them soundly.
Okay, let me just push back here, because I do like Cameron, okay? Where was Cam's tweets when Brock Purdy had some of the best games that we've seen quarterbacks have in terms of passer rating and efficiency and touchdowns and just everything that you want out of a quarterback over the last month? Where was he on his Twitter feed after last week's game, by the way?
Well, I think he might have been caught in like an update limbo.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not here for the see, he's struggling, I'm right. Because he didn't hop in there and go, oh, he's killing it, maybe I was wrong. So, and plus he also came in his highly edited 9-minute retort that everybody was talking about. He was backing off saying, you know, game manager doesn't mean such a bad thing. So listen, Brock Purdy, what I think that his performance against the Ravens showed is he's not ready for being called the MVP, that his numbers are what they are. But against a championship defense, by the way, that he may have to go and beat in Las Vegas in about a month plus, because let's be straight, they are going to be the one seed because, well, I mean, let's just put it this way. I think they're going to be the one seed because the Lions are right there with them and the Eagles are right there with them. Although the Eagles pass defense, my goodness gracious. They've got the Washington Commanders next week. I think if there's a get right game anywhere for the San Francisco 49ers on the road for them anywhere, that's a get right game for them. I think they're going to go there. They're going to get right. Then they're going to go home and take on a Rams team that might really need to win that game. And I think that will be quite a test for Brock Purdy again against a Rams team that is playing very well. But, you know, is he exposed as a guy that can't win the Super Bowl? Maybe, just maybe, if these two teams face each other again, this is what I was thinking, why I was watching the end of the game all the way through, is because this is a game we're going to be talking about if these two teams play each other. This is now a narrative that we didn't see coming.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, last time they played, Brock had a terrible game. And now what is he going to do in the Super Bowl? And does Shanahan pull him for Sam Darnold if it's a Super Bowl type performance that we, you know, that's required of him and he's clearly not his day again? What do you do there? I mean, that is going to be fodder if these two teams play again. When we're sitting there in Vegas waiting for kickoff and looking, staring for storylines and picking everything apart to try and find something to talk about. So I'll just say this, was he exposed as a good quarterback in the league? No. Was he exposed as a game manager and not a game changer? No. Was he exposed as an MVP candidate? Yeah. He was exposed as that, and he is not ready for that just yet. Certainly when it was his time to shine and things didn't go his way. And he started, as, Aikman pointed out, seeing ghosts. He saw, as he said, more color than there's out there. And he started
seeing ghosts, and then Sam Darnold replaced him.
I just walked into that, didn't I?
Yeah, sorry, Rich.
Okay, so that's my answer, and I'll call that an overreaction. What else you got, Chris?
All right, Rich, you know what I noticed over the weekend? Not a single team from this division won a game. Nobody wants to win the AFC South.
I don't know what's going on with the Jaguars.
Jaguars lost four in a row. What are we doing?
I don't know.
We're all 8-7. Tennessee's eliminated. Jaguars.
And by the way, they may be playing the best football the last 3 weeks. How great a coach is Mike Vrabel, by the way. How great. This is why all the Ohio State fans are just, you know, putting on their hope chests or whatever they have to beg for the football gods to do something for him.
Like I said, if Bill is indeed out, let's trade for Vrabel.
Never. I mean, the Titans would be out of their skulls to do anything remotely close to not having them there the rest of his career. Because, yeah, I mean, they're playing their asses off for him right now. So, you know, I guess, you know, I'll say this is proper that you look at this. Obviously, everybody wants to win the division, but they are playing poorly right now. All of them are playing significantly poorly right now. And, I hear you. What else you got over there?
Well, like we said, look, if they have to host the Browns, I mean, I would assume that they'd lose that game. Any of these teams that win this division.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I also think the one thing you can definitely etch in stone is that this would be the first game of Super Wild Card Weekend early on a Saturday. That's your first game, 100%. Whoever wins this division, print your tickets, and everybody should get ready for the tailgate right around noon their time on Saturday of Super Wild Card Weekend.
Make
your plans right now.
Make your plans. Rich, I want to go back to Thursday for a second. The Rams, I just can't get over this team and what they've done this year, specifically their rookie wide receiver. Rich, Puka Nacua is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Dude, yeah.
We had given this. Holidays. We had wrapped this up in a really nice bow. We had given it. We were just like waiting to deliver it to C.J. Stroud for seemingly like 6 weeks. I don't know. Not anymore. Stroud hasn't been out there. Nacua, one of the major reasons the Rams firmly in that NFC playoff.
What if Stroud comes back and leads the Texans to the 7th seed?
What if the Rams are sick? What if
your overreaction
keeps balling? Puka keeps going 100 plus touchdown. They keep winning.
Dude,
we got a race.
All right. You talk me into it. I'll say that as we're sitting here right now, we thought this was Stroud's to wrap up, and this was the end all and be all.
Yeah.
But Nacua may set the record for rookie receptions and rookie yards. And by the way, can we give some flowers to Matthew Stafford as well?
Absolutely.
Because two wide receivers got the triple crown the last two, right? in Calvin Johnson and Cooper Kupp. And who are the quarterback there for both of those guys? Who is the quarterback? The
Number
same
nine.
Guy that the same guy that may throw it to Puka Nacua for his historic season as well. And I'll tell you, man, we saw it in the flesh on that Thursday night. We watched it. We saw it. He's sidearming. He's flinging. He's no looking. He is playing exactly the way he played in their Super Bowl season. Exactly.
Agree. Look, and I'll be one of the first to throw my hand up all offseason. I thought the Rams were kind of, you know, stealthily tanking. I thought Stafford didn't have much left after the injuries. He looks like he could play a few more years at this high level.
How about this? How about Matthew Stafford for comeback player of the year?
Rich, I love it. I love it. And I mean, because really
he was actually hurt. Like, that's supposed to be the concept of the award, right? Yes. Is somebody who was hurt and could not play the year before with any significance, then comes back and dominates. Right? I mean, Matthew Stafford might be coming back.
Rams went out. They're the sixth seed. Why can't they go on the road and win a playoff game?
Did we stumble on something? Did we just stumble on something here on the award nominated American Football Podcast Overreaction Monday? Did we just do that?
Great season. Great season here in LA. I'm glad I've gone to every game this year.
All right. Keep going. What else,
Rich? Let's just stick in the West real quick, because with the Patriots winning, there is some shuffle at the top of the draft for 2024. How about this? The Cardinals are going to take a quarterback second overall.
I don't know. I think that is. I guess that's underneath the surface here, because we're all focused on what the Bears are going to do with Justin Fields and how his final games are a referendum on what the Bears are going to do and how he performs. And both of those quarterbacks faced one another this past week. I'll call this an overreaction for the moment, though. I don't think that is exactly going to be the case here. I still think that they love Kyler there. And everything I hear is that they do, and how he's matured, and how, you know, they don't have to take his iPad away in the same way that I think we're going to take the iPads away of the kids here soon.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I'll just call that an overreaction. But, man, once this season is over and the draft order is set, a lot to talk about, from what teams are going to do to who the kids and how talented they are that are going to be available in the draft in Detroit? That is going to be a real subject of conversation for us to sink our teeth into in the Daily Show every single day. And I can't wait for it. But for the moment, this is an overreaction.
Yeah, Rich, it's early, but the mock draft I saw last night after all the games ended, it was Caleb 1 to the Bears, Marvin Harrison 2 to the Cardinals, Drake May 3 to the Commanders, and then the Patriots go 4, Jaden Daniels still get a quarterback at 4. So,
well, you would be psyched about that. You don't care about the memo there if that happens.
About that. Yeah, it's going to be a wild non-playing season. All right, Rich, last one.
Yes, sir.
We have to talk about this division, because the two best teams in this division are not playing well at all. I'm going to say the NFC East is going to go winless in the playoffs.
What a great way to finish this one up. Ah, man, the Eagles' pass defense is just I mean, they got to get Slay back, man. And then whatever was going on between Slay and Mr. Pencil Ear, in Detroit, they better get over that and figure out something on the back end. They also can't get any pressure up front at all.
No.
I mean, one of the most significant plays that Jalen Carter made on Monday was him being offsides and basically turning the ball over to put the Giants offense back on the field. And Tyrod Taylor, you know, he's
back.
Dude, he was balling out, and he almost tied that game at the end.
Yep.
I am really concerned about that pass defense more than the offense of Philadelphia. And did you hear the fans cheer with derision when they handed the ball off once in the third quarter? And that was after, by the way, Jalen Hurts made that in dime to A.J. Brown for 32 yards on a 3rd and 20.
Where was A.J. Brown in the first half?
Oh, my God. Tell me about it. I haven't I have him in fantasy, and by the way, I was still able to make my fantasy finals.
Oh, look at you.
I know, I'm very fortunate. With the Eagles defense too, by the way, which is why I was so focused on it. The Cowboys, I'm not going to say are going to be one and done. I how about that? I'm more confident that the Cowboys are going to win a playoff game.
On the road, most likely, right?
Yes, at Tampa. I'm more confident of their ability to maybe pull that one off than anything else. So I'm nervous about the Eagles' ability defensively. How does that sound? Not on offense, because they've got some ballers on offense. They could figure that thing out and start running the ball and go crush some oppositions. Some opponents, but I'm that defense just is not like to compare compare the two defenses that won the last two games of Christmas Day triple header. Compare those two defenses, the Eagles and the Ravens.
Oh, geez,
come on, just man. They're just
miles
they're
apart, quite a different sport. Yeah,
they're not in the same universe. And the Raiders, compare all the winning defenses of Christmas Day.
Well, just look at the Raiders. The last 2 weeks, I bet the Raiders for fantasy are probably the number one defense.
But reality too, right? And the Eagles defense was DFL in terms of the winning defenses on Christmas Day. So
you're more concerned about Philly than Dallas
right now. You betcha. I sure am, because you know somebody's going to come into Philadelphia in the first weekend of the wild card weekend potentially. Right. Let's just put it that way. The Rams go into Philadelphia. The Seahawks go into Philadelphia. You don't think the Seahawks, the way that they are playing, the way
that would be the matchup right now. That would be Seahawks, Eagles, wild card week.
You don't think the Seahawks, make that a game in the same way that they did in San Francisco on the Super Wild Card weekend last year? And then all of a sudden the fans there start booing and going, I mean,
I know it was in Seattle, but Seattle literally just beat them a week ago.
Dude.
So.
I'm more concerned about the Eagles than the Cowboys, but I'll still call this an overreaction.
All right, Rich, that's
all right. That'll wrap up our pod just for our usual, where you give me something to overreact to, and then we chop it up. We finish up with our weekly prediction of what we're going to be overreacting to next week. You have the floor, Chris.
All right, Rich, I have no idea what I said last week, but I'm sure I was wrong. So let's move on.
Yes.
I'm going to say, we're going to overreact to next week. The winner of Lions-Cowboys. That is one of the marquee games of Week 17. Lions-Cowboys. Yes. Winner of that game is going to win the NFC.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Because the way that the Niners looked, I hear you. Okay.
Niners I'm struggling. Obviously, we didn't talk about the Lions, but first division title in 30 years.
Sure.
They win that game. Why not? I'll talk myself into Lions going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, and here's my future overreaction. The Miami Dolphins stink again. That's going to be my future overreaction. Just wipe out everything that they got, for all the flowers that they've just gotten for beating the Cowboys. Wipe it out, because I think the Ravens are going to put the bang thing on them too. Certainly if Jalen Waddle doesn't come out of that high ankle sprain in the same way that, say, Trevor Lawrence was able to come out of his. Can the Dolphins win that game? Absolutely. Do I think that the Ravens are going to just be going in there, and it's a short week for them, obviously. I think it's entirely possible the Ravens do the same thing to the Dolphins that they just did to the 49ers, and everyone's going to be that the Dolphins stink again, even though they clinched a playoff spot by beating the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll see what they look like in the playoffs. So that's my future overreaction. Great job, Chris. Have a great week. So we will be doing our podcast next week right at the crack of dawn on Jan 1, because our show, the Rich Eisen Show, is off on January 1st because I'll be going to the Rose Bowl straight up. Oh, there go the dogs. There go the dogs. It's time to let the dogs out. So our next Overreaction Monday podcast will be in 2024. Happy New Year to you, Chris.
Hey, Happy New Year. Best of the fam. Enjoy the week, man.
Okay. All right, that'll wrap it up for Overreaction Monday. We're letting the dogs out here. Well done, Christopher. Well done. And Happy New Year to everybody else. Next time, we'll be talking to you in 2024.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
1995, when WCW announces they're going to be live and head-to-head with Monday Night Raw, feels like this would have been something Vince would have kind of laughed off.
No, we did not like them moving to Monday nights. There were a lot of hotels. They all carried CNN, TBS, and TNT. Vince was convinced that Ted Turner had deviously done this deal to get in the hotels and keep us out.
Something to Wrestle, wherever you listen.